had our serenity prayer. So the suggested commitment to service, I'm going to read through and say pass. And if you'd like to join in, please pick up where I leave off, and then you can say pass when you're would like to stop reading. This is the ACA suggested commitment to service from page 601 of the ACA Fellowship Text, also known as the Big Red Book. I perform service so my program will be available for myself, and through those efforts, others may benefit. I will perform service and practice my recovery by 1. Affirming that the true power of our program rests in the membership of the meetings and is expressed through our higher power and through group conscience. 2. Confirming that our process is one of inclusion and not exclusion. Showing special sensitivity to the viewpoint of the minority in the process of formulating the group conscience so that any decision is reflective of the spirit of the group and not merely the vote of the majority. Pass.
Yep. Placing principles before personalities. 4. Keeping myself fit for service by working my recovery as a member of the program. 5. Striving to facilitate the sharing of experience, strength, and hope at all levels, meetings, intergroups, regional committees, service boards, and world services. 6. Accepting the different forms of levels of service and allowing those around me to each function according to their own abilities. Yes.
Remaining willing to forgive myself and others for not performing perfectly, being willing to surrender the position which I serve in the interest of unity and to provide the opportunity for others to serve, to avoid problems of money, property, and prestige, and to avoid losing my own recovery through the use of service to act out my old behavior, especially in taking care of others. Controlling, rescuing, being a victim, etc. Remembering, I am a trusted servant. I do not govern.
Thank you, everyone. So we're at the ABC, you will be asked to rename yourself in a certain convention. We are pretty certain sometimes this changes, or it was done differently in another pre-conference meeting, but I think this is going to be it. The if you're a delegate, you'd put your name, I'm sorry, your meeting or group number as registered. Then your name, first name with an last initial, and then your location, which is optional. And so if you're unfamiliar with that technique, you can ask now, and I'd love for people to change their names if they can. Here, if you go to the participants list, you'll find the opportunity to rename yourself by hovering over the dots, red dots, and see if you can do that. If you're having a challenge, you can ask one of us. You can private message us, direct message, and we'll be able to help you with that. But for now, I'm going to move onward. And to introduce the presenters. So my name is Jim. I work with the Volunteer Resource Committee. I will not be a delegate this year. My meeting is an online meeting, and I have a colleague who is going to be our delegate. I'm from New York, and I've been to, gosh, I think 8 ABCs, probably 4 and 4 as far as online or in person. And I have been a delegate, although I will, as I said, I will not be a delegate this year. So we also have Charlie H.
Sure. Thanks, Jim. I've been to, my name's Charlie H. I live in Falls Church, Virginia, which is just outside of Washington, D.C. I spent 20 plus years of my recovery never even thinking about ACA World Service. Got invited sort of randomly to be the speaker at the 2015 ABC, which was my first ABC. And then I've been participating directly, like Jim, since 2016, either as a delegate or as a board member or as both. Happy to be here today as a presenter.
Thank you. And Marcus.
Hey everybody, Marcus, recovering adult child. I've been a delegate for four ABCs, I believe. I'm actually a delegate for California 218, but I really won't be. I'm also the co-chair of the ABC committee. Been on the ABC for committee for a couple of years, but but I won't be doing delegate because the alternate's going to do the delegate work this time, and because I'll be doing other things at the ABC. So, yeah, glad to see you all here.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Marcus. And to round out the host team, we have Brad L. Brad?
Hey, I'm Brad. I'm your WSO IT manager, and I'm from Maryland. I've done about four ABCs. One of the things that you may notice is that my name says Tech Help dash Brad L. And when you're at the ABC, if they have a title in front of their name, like tech help or point of information or point of order, they're all going to start with that title so you can easily find them in the participants menu.
Thank you, Brad. I'm going to go through our roster of participants today. And in a minute or less, if you could just say, give us where you're from and whether you've been to an ABC in the past and whether you're a delegate. Adelina.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Adelina here. I live in Toronto, Canada, and my responsibilities at the ABC include point of safety. I call everyone who's a point of safety the guardian of the conference. We will ensure that the atmosphere in the conference will be cordial and helpful, and of course, I'm always up to introduce some fun activities. Okay, thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Adelina. Denise?
Hi, I'm Denise. I'm a delegate for Texas 131. However, I'm living in Lawrence, Kansas, so it's virtual. And this will be my seventh ABC. And I also wear another hat as I'm chair of NOMCOM, and I'll be doing a presentation on the ratification of our board members.
Thank you, Denise. Intergroup 654 Peg. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I represent Monterey Bay Intergroup in California, and it's my second ABC. Thanks.
Thank you. Welcome. I see Karen, and Karen has written that she's unable to speak, but she's wrote that this is her fourth ABC, and she's listed as representing Intergroup 70, and that she is in Illinois. So that brings us to Jacinta. Welcome.
Good morning. Jacinta here. This will be my second ABC as an observer. So I'm
Wonderful.
inching for the first time towards something. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for being here. In Minnesota, Dwayne, welcome.
I'm Dwayne from St. Paul, Minnesota. This is my first ABC, and I'm a delegate for Minnesota 126.
Thank you very much and welcome. Sharon in North Carolina.
Hi, everybody. This is Sharon. This is my fourth ABC, but my first time as a delegate. I'm representing From Hurting to Healing in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Also from North Carolina, Lynn.
Hi, everyone. I represent Asheville from North Carolina. This is my first time going to the ABC, and I am a delegate.
Welcome. Thank you. Rob in Oklahoma.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rob in Oklahoma, representing a meeting out of Oklahoma City. My first time at this as a delegate and also at the ABC. Thanks.
Thank you. Welcome, Rob. We see Melissa from Tennessee. Welcome.
Hello. I represent the early risers Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 7 a.m. Central meeting. And I am a representative for that group. And I have not attended ABC in this fellowship. I do have some other experience outside of this fellowship. And I'm going to have to step off. I didn't realize this was recorded. I have a retreat I'm attending. And so now I can go back and view this later. So thank you all very much.
Thank you for introducing yourself, and we'll see you at the ABC.
Yes.
That brings us to on the web, Ken R. in Ohio.
Thank you, Jim. My name is Ken R., care of the Message Group out of Central Ohio. This will be my fourth ABC, and I was an observer, I think, twice before. So it's for the newcomers, you're looking forward to an exciting 2 days. Matt, I pass.
Thank you, Ken. I also see Sam, another web person. And I've forgotten where you are, Sam.
I'm Sam, recovering at Oak Town. My home group is Webo 897. It's ACA Recovery Writers. And I volunteered for and was accepted by the group to be the delegate for the ABC. And this will be my first time. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. And now I remember it's Alberta, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Welcome. And finally, I see Gail. Gail from Southwest Florida, I believe. Welcome.
Thank you, Jim. Yes, I'm Gail, and I'm an adult child in Southwest Florida, and I represent the Progress Not Perfection web group. We started from Southwest Florida. Our group has voted to have a delegate, and I'm considering the position. I have not been to an ABC, so I am here to learn and observe and maybe step up for the position. So, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And I'm going to turn this over to Charlie, I believe.
Actually, Jim, I think some one more introduction. Laura has joined since we started going through.
Laura, welcome.
Hi, thanks. I was elected delegate for the NorCal Intergroup 640. And so, yeah, I observed an ABC last year a little bit. So anyway, I'm here to figure out stuff. Thanks.
Welcome Thank back.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So I'm going to ask a quick question of my co-presenter before we start. Brad, our tech expert, and the person will probably save at least two people on this call a week from today when we do the ABC, has only till 9:30. Does anybody object to just letting him do his presentation and then we'll we'll pick up with the outline afterwards. Okay. Brad?
Hi. Thanks, everyone, for accommodating my schedule. So let's go back to start talking about some tech that's going to be helpful. This is the conference page. I assume most people are familiar with it because this is where you register to be a delegate. You get to it by going to adultchildren.org conference, and the top one is annual quarterly conference. Now, one of the things that you'll see at the top right now is you have the delegate registration, alternate Slack signup, and observer. When after the registration closes, which will be the end of Monday, we're going to reclaim some of that top space, and we're going to use it for voting and some other stuff I'm going to talk about briefly. If you scroll down to here, you'll see the delegate guidebook. That's what a lot of us know as the binder. If you click on this, this is going to be a lot of good information. One of the ways I wanted to say is we've improved our embed tool this year. So if you go to it and you just click the expand, then you've got a whole page of this binder type going through here. And then, for example, I'm going to go down to technical information. I just move my hand there so it gets a little pointer with finger on it. I click it and boom, I'm all the way up to the technical information. So this is how you use it to move around. We already talked about renaming yourself, and I see a lot of people did that. Jim did a nice job of telling us the format, but if anyone's not familiar with how to do it, you find your box with yourself, hit the three dots, and there'll be a rename option right there. Okay. And then there's the sequence and so forth. We're going to talk about Election Buddy a little bit. So Election Buddy is the tool that we use to vote at the ABC on the motions. Where do you get this information? You're going to get an email, and the email is going to have your login and your password. So, for example, I'll just use Gail as an example here, since she boxes right below mine. Her login, which it will say in her email, will be her WSO number. So her login will be web 1074. We do this to try to make it as simple as possible. Then there's going to be a random 5-digit password in there, and there's going to be a link that you use to log in. So we're going to go ahead and watch a video real quick. Oops, I have to change my share. Hold on. We'll just watch this video real quick. And everybody should be able to hear the sound on this.
Hello, fellow ACAs. This is Brad, your IT manager for WSO. And I wanted to review some of the Election Buddy voting for the third day of the ABC, which is going to start on July 23rd at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. This may be a review for a lot of you, but I thought I'd go through it anyway. Everyone's going to get an email just like this if you're the primary delegate. And when you come down here, it's going to have your link for Election Buddy, and it's going to have your access key and your password. Now, the difference for you is that your access key will probably be your WSO group number, and your password will be a random 5 digits. This is what you're going to be using for Election Buddy. There's two things you should know. One, when you get this email, we want you to read it through because it has some good information on it about the event. And we want you to go ahead and do this practice poll by clicking this link. Now, I just clicked the link, and there is a practice poll here about favorite seasons. So I'm going to click that. Now, you notice that it started to fill it, autofill it with my password filler, so you may have to clear yours out. Mine was access key is web 100, and I'm going to type in the password it gave me. Now, where did I get this information? From the email. So go ahead and I'll click vote now, cancel my password thing, and it's going to do a practice poll for me, just asking me which one of the seasons I like best. So let's go ahead and I'll choose autumn. Now, I'm not done here. I'm going to click continue. Then I'm going to confirm it by seeing that I chose autumn, and then I can click submit. And now I'm actually ready. Or actually, my poll has been submitted. Now, when I'm going to be ready for the next poll, I always want to hit next vote. Now, during the ABC, you're going to, when we get there in the morning, when it comes to start talking about the tests, we're going to run another practice poll at that point. What we'll have everybody do is log into their Election Buddy account. Now, where do you get that? Remember, straight from the email that you have. You'll click the link, and then you can copy in your access key and your password. During all the polls during the day, as long as you don't close your Election Buddy screen, you shouldn't have to log in anymore. If you have any problems with polls not appearing, all you need to do is go ahead and refresh your screen. And remember, after you vote, click next vote. So just to summarize, before the ABC, we're going to do a practice poll. And when we get to the ABC, we'll all log into Election Buddy together, and we'll go through it one more time. So thanks so much for listening, and enjoy the ABC.
Okay, so that was me doing my very best recording for the ABC. And a couple things on there. We're going to be sending out Zoom invites on the Tuesday or Wednesday before the ABC. And we're also going to be sending out that Election Buddy page, so forth. Now, the Zoom invite is a specific link just for you, or rather say just for your group. If you have an alternate that's going to be attending, it's important that they also get the Zoom invite and the Election Buddy login information. Remember, you can only have one person logged in per link, so forth. So you're going to have to communicate with your alternate and figure it out who's going to be there. Okay, so I'm going to pause just for a moment and say, are there questions about Election Buddy or anything I've said so far? Okay, cool. If you don't get your election, Charlie.
Sorry, the lady hand. I'm a tech slow learner, so I'm going to hopefully represent somebody on this call. It's my observation that every year there's at least a few people where the election stuff does not work in the first few minutes when you're doing the test. So what should people do when that happens?
Yeah, so what's going to happen is that's called an alley-oop. Charlie just throws me a ball up in front of the basket so I can dunk it down. But if let's say, you know, there's someone that it doesn't work, or they thought, hey, I'll figure this out, and all of a sudden in the ABC during this the practice, they realize, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on. One of our tech team will take you or somebody else on, or anybody that's having trouble into a breakout room, and we'll work things out individually. I just say, for those that have apprehension on this, everybody has been able to vote in the past, everybody. So we always work out the tech stuff that people are having. It's strongly recommended that you log in with a computer. instead of a phone. It is hard, you know, not tech skill type thing, but it is hard to go back and forth between Zoom and voting on the phone. You can do it, but if you have a computer, it's recommended. Also, if for some reason you don't get your Zoom or your election buddy stuff, obviously check your spam and the all mail and the usual stuff. But you're welcome to Slack me or Marchin. I'm Brad L on Slack. Marchin is Marchin C on Slack. Or you can email me. I'm itmanager@acawso.org. And Marchin is IT chair. Any other questions before I move on? Okay, so translations. At the bottom, unfortunately, we're not going to have it fully in this Zoom. There's a thing that says show captions. So, and if you click the show captions right now, you can actually select your language. But when we're in the ABC, there'll be actually one where it says your speaking language and the translation language, and you can set that up. So the AI will translate for you whatever language you want. Now, also one of the things to note is the reactions button. The reactions button is going to have some reactions in it. It has a check for yes and X for no on there. And it also has a raised hand in here. Like I just raised my hand. And on the Zoom we probably use, we're probably going to break the raised hand out of the reactions thing for its own icon, just to make it a little bit easier on people. Saving your chat is really easy. If you go to chat, it brings up a sidebar on your computer, and then there will be three dots or the word more, depending on what device is you on, and it saves the chat going on there. Okay, there is going to be worldwide online voting. This means Election Buddy. That'll be polls for overnight that everybody gets to vote on. I'm sorry, every delegate gets to vote on. Okay, and these will be sent out approximately 2 hours or as quickly as we can get it done after the end of the ABC. So what I'm saying is there's going to be voting at the ABC and there will be voting after the ABC. Now, those polls will be open till about 2 hours till the next day of the ABC, and of course we're gonna the voting is exactly the same as it is during the ABC. There's not gonna be any surprises in how to use it at all. So the next day we're also gonna have voting after the second day of the ABC, but since we don't have another day following up, as soon as we get it posted, it will be open for 24 hours. The other thing I wanted to say is that we are going to take some of the material from the conference to aid in voting. So therefore, and it's all going to be on the conference page, our secretary is going to do a written summary of some stuff. We are going to do clips of the discussion for the appropriate item. So you'll see motion four, and here is the audio, here is the summary. It's all going to be there on the conference page to help refresh you. Okay. So I really think that's really the bulk of everything. Does anybody have any technical questions? Jim? Jim, you're muted.
Thanks. Yeah, just briefly, in the chat, Lynn in North Carolina noted that she won't be there on Saturday. So are you saying that she could vote Saturday overnight
100% she can vote. So the fact is that if she's not there on Saturday, let's say her, if she has an alternate, then the alternate should do the job. But if they don't have an alternate, then you can go there and you can see the written summary. You can see the clips of the audio. You can make your best decisions. With that, when I say the audio, that's going to be the discussion amongst the delegates. There's going to be a presenter that presents the motion, explains it. Then you'll have all the discussion, so you can really do an educated vote without being there. Does anyone have any other technical questions? All right. Pleasure to serve. So sorry I can't stay longer with you.
Brad, thank you so much for your help today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, bye bye. Okay, so I think I will pick up with the screen sharing, and then Marcus, I think it'll be your turn next. Yeah, Marcus.
Okay. Yeah, or I can actually. Yeah. The rest for today's agenda, like we've done the IT support here and overview of the Zoom meeting, Zoom link for the ABC. And then we're going to talk about the ABC process, reviewing the participant protocol at the ABC, providing general information for delegates. Delegate preparation and resources, ABC information, discussion and worldwide online voting, important dates for delegates, and questions and answers. Some of this stuff Brad's gone over already. And today's big things are how to do the mechanics, the technology work on how that stuff works. Why do we have a conference? How do the delegates make decisions? And how and where can you get help? So the Zoom overview, so like this stuff, I think pretty much, you know, IT support that Brad has covered most of this. Registration. A lot of this information is also available. If you go onto the registration page, there's actually a lot of information. Like if you go back to register again, there's a bunch of information on that page. And I'm not going to go over because I think that we'll go over the reactions. Let's see here. Let's see here. Maybe I should screen share. Let's see. I think. Yeah, I'm a little. We kind of skipped through. Delegate preparation. And I think this is Charlie actually where you were taking over. But let me screen share here for a bit.
Sure, by all means, I'll take this off.
And let's see here. I'm just going to share here. So, all right. These streams. Okay. Yeah. So these are the So the reactions. Raise hand. Yes. No. I don't know. You know. Maybe I should take a. But if you've been in meetings, you know they're down under reactions. A reactions button and pull that up, and these things are there. The raise hand, you're going to need that for speaking. So you'll raise your hand, you'll be in a queue. You don't want to get out of the queue. If you get out, you go to the bottom and you come back in. So in order to unmute, you'll need to be called on and they'll unmute you. And they'll lower your hand. There'll be people there that have that as a task. And yes and no, that'll probably only be used for just like something like, okay, do you want to take a break now, or do you want to wait till we deal with this next proposal? Something like that, you know. Otherwise, anything of importance, we're going to be using the election buddy. And okay, chat, please chat. There will be other people that you can chat to because there'll be other people that are co-hosts. But if they don't have one of these designations, point of order, point of information, point of information WSO, point of order safety, or information technology, those are the people that you can chat, get your questions answered, any help you want, or if you want to make a point of order. And we'll go over exactly what those are later on. But please don't chat other people because it's kind of, it'll be interruptive of whatever service they're providing. And yeah, we did the election buddy video already. This. And yeah, there'll be hosts, co-hosts, and those will be people doing service positions at the ABC, and the participants are going to be all the delegates. And videos optional as far as having your video on, and basically don't, you know, like if you're walking around, etc., eating or something, you know, that's going to be distracting, just turn it off. Yeah, and those are the reactions. And then I'm just going to do a little here on sort of basically setting the tone of the at the ABC. And I'm going to just do this out of here. Here we are. Then, you know, this is the delegate handbook. A lot of information in this, as Brad showed you. And so where we're going to go here is setting the tone. And this is just kind of like, you know, protocol at the ABC, you know, to set a basically service coming from love. So please show courtesy towards others. Be considerate of those that English is not their primary language. By avoiding the use of slang, acronyms, and complicated sentences when you're sharing, use I, me, and I and me statements rather than you, they, and we, similar to in our meetings. Be honest and direct, yet gentle and compassionate. Acknowledge the problem. Focus on the intention and the solution. Listen and learn. Be willing to be uncomfortable and challenged. And be mindful that many of our attendees have experienced social and structural inequity. And it's okay to disagree. Remembering our commitment to service coming from love, with healthy disagreement and open-mindedness is practiced. And remember, this is about the group conscience. So this is your conference. You have an important role in deciding what to do when sharing is not safe or requires courtesy. So if you see something going on, here's the safety protocol. Delegates report unsafe statements and actions directly to the point of safety person in chat, or point of order safety, either one. I think it'll be named point of order safety, but the point of safety lets the reporting delegates know they were heard and there is a safety protocol in place, or the point of safety will inform the conference that a safety concern was received and will share the concerns with the chair parliamentarian. So point of safety can interrupt the conference if something's going on that they feel needs to be dealt with immediately. If something is said in an unkind manner or tone, the chair will ask the person to rephrase it in a more courteous tone. If the meeting starts to lose our safety focus, the chair and parliamentarian will stop the discussion and put the conference on pause. This will allow the delegates and trusted servants to catch our breath and reconnect to the health and safety of our conference. During the pause, we can read one of these, Tradition 9, Tradition 2, Tradition 1, or we'll have a video that, you know, you can access actually here out of the delegate binder. When a gentle reminder is not changing the behavior, the chair will pause and take a group conscience about addressing the situation. So I think that's it for me, Charlie, I believe. Yeah, and things have gone well, I think, since the safety protocol has been in place. I think it's had some, yeah, nice quarterlies and conferences. Thank you. Charlie, you want to?
Yeah, thank you, Marcus. Quick reminder before I pick up that, again, these preparation materials are all quite critical. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the conference website. You can just go to adultchildren.org and you'll see a conference link there. The guidebook and binder, it feels hypocritical of me to suggest this as always being a somewhat disorganized student, but the more you can look that guidebook over in advance, the better prepared you will be. We also have an operating policy and procedure manual that explains some of the protocol that I'll be going through, but probably you can feel confident. There's been a lot of experience in doing these voting procedures that most people know how to guide you through those. Also, of course, Slack has a channel for registered delegates. Good place to go for instant communications. It's a locked channel. It's only for delegates. And then lastly, there is an informal buddy system. There's going to be a delegate connections meeting tonight at 9 o'clock. We'll mention that later. And also, if you simply have a friend, somebody you know is attending, there's a lot of different ways you can do this. You can communicate through Slack. Some people do it through WhatsApp. But I think those who have had communication with others during the meeting find that it's a less lonely process. So at least in the beginning, while you're getting your feet underneath you. So before we move into the last part of what is the conference, why do we do it, that sort of thing, does anybody have any questions from what, based on what you've heard so far? And again, if you want to be recognized, just raise your digital hand. Jim.
Yeah, I just wanted to reaffirm that during the proceedings, which are very long, there will be no opportunity to chat between delegates. So you might want to, if you want to talk to someone, set that up ahead of time as to where you can communicate with your fellows. Thanks.
Yeah, good point. Any other questions before we move forward? Okay. I'll reshare here. So I heard a number of people, this is your first ABC. I've even heard, I was very impressed, one participant here is still deciding whether to be a delegate or not. So that really is impressive diligence. I'm going to mention, because of that, for anybody who's not registered and they're thinking about doing it, the deadline to register as a delegate for this year's ABC is Monday, May 13th. So if you want to, it's a very easy process. It literally takes seconds. Now, also, because I missed this memo, if you are a former delegate coming back, you have to register new for this year. So if you've not registered in the last month or two, you also have a deadline on Monday, and you can go and do this very easily by going to the conference website. But as I say, Monday is the deadline for being a registered delegate. And if you're not a registered delegate, then you can only participate as an observer. You won't be able to be recognized, for instance. So what I've actually found is a lot of people at their first ABC, it's not just one learning curve, it's about seven learning curves. You're learning about the technology, which you've gone through. You're learning about how maybe 175, sometimes delegates, go through these discussions. You're learning about a lot of issues. And if you come from another country, you're learning how to do this in a second or third language. So we pause just to give you a little bit of basic orienting background. Hopefully you'll be less disoriented on next Saturday. Typically the smoke starts clearing and people get more caught up as the weekend goes on. But what is the ACA World Service Organization? It's actually a nonprofit. It's based in Los Angeles, California. It's got a warehouse with lots and lots of books, a relatively small staff that handles everything from accounting, running the website. Brad, who you just heard, is an employee of the World Service Organization. He runs our IT. We serve a worldwide population. We actually have meetings pretty much on every continent in the world now. It's grown quite a lot that way in recent years. We publish literature. Most everybody, I assume, is familiar with the Red Book and the Yellow Workbook. We have a Meditation, Strengthening My Recovery, Loving Parent Guidebook. And a good deal of that literature is translated in other languages. So we publish books and other literature. We ship it worldwide. We operate a website, a meeting directory. Oftentimes that's people's first introduction to ACA World Services, coming to our website to find a meeting. Whoops, I'm sorry. Occasionally, people out in the meeting and intergroup level, they run into problems that are breaking down their meeting. They'll come to us for a request. We don't issue mandates to meetings. We come in when we start getting complaints, and we offer help, but we need to be asked to do that. And then lastly, under our bylaws, we conduct an annual business meeting. Part of that is for WSO, the World Service Organization, to explain what are our primary initiatives, how do the finances look. That part can almost be a little bit like going to a local town council meeting. But then there's also a lot of discussion about specific proposals for shaping the future, and the delegates discuss those. A really important point, though, is WSO as an organization, this board, this nonprofit, we are accountable to the conference. We don't govern ACA groups or members. We don't issue directives. And the whole purpose of the conference is to make sure whatever the WSO is doing aligns with what the larger fellowship really wants them to focus on. So as delegates, where do you fit within this organization? Like other 12-step fellowships, what we call the ultimate authority comes from all the members attending registered meetings, intergroups, and regions. They select delegates to come to this annual meeting, as well as some quarterly meetings we do. You represent them in a sense, but you also simply represent the fellowship as a whole. We have something called the 12 concepts of service. The delegates are considered the voice of the fellowship. So you hear the issues, you think it through, you make your own best judgment, on how to vote, unless your particular group has said absolutely don't come back unless you vote X or Y on a certain issue. And even there, you're encouraged to think it through. WSO, the organization, is led by a board of trustees, but they are all essentially a trusted servants of the conference. So they do these conferences, the delegates issue broad direction. WSO basically tries to execute that broad direction. Obviously, WSO can make suggestions to the delegates. We think you should think about this or that, but the big decisions are actually made at these meetings by all of you together. So so I've mentioned the concepts. They're broad guides, but you have a really critical role that I'll go into in a moment. And as I mentioned, you have something called the right of decision. You're free to vote your conscience based on what you actually hear at a session. World Service encourages that delegates serve for 2 years, but this is not mandatory. This is really the decision of the group that appoints you and your own decision. An advantage of serving more than one, I think for people who have been here two or three times, they will tell you it gets much clearer when you come back again. So what are some real special authorities? As I mentioned, and this is a unique role of the conference, we can't run out and ask 30, 40, 50, 60,000 ACA members out there, what do you all think we should do? So in the end, the conference is our voice of the fellowship. So pretty much when you say we think X or we think Y, it is the equivalent of the whole fellowship speaking. It's a really powerful responsibility that it takes people some time to get their heads around. But even if you're a first-time delegate, you represent the World Fellowship. You have the final decision on large matters of policy and finance. It doesn't happen often, but it can happen at any time where the board presents something and the delegates basically say, you got that wrong, and they will reverse it. I've seen it happen. It's actually a pretty neat thing. And I will say generally the delegates on these votes have a pretty good track record. There have also been cases where the board has kind of said, we can't figure this out. We'd like to know what you think. Lastly, you can issue directives to the board. And there's even a ratification process for board members. You can remove trustees by not ratifying them for another term. I'm going to turn this over to Jim in a second. But one of the things that is really interesting, I'm always tempted to say the delegates are kind of like the Congress of ACA World Service or the Parliament of ACA World Service. But that does not always cast the most positive image when we read the daily news about how a body like that works. It's really designed to be a spiritual Congress or Parliament that's guided by the group conscience. So, Jim, can you sort of lead a discussion with some initial thoughts about what is a group conscience, and then maybe you can open it up to get other people's thoughts?
Yes, thank you, Charlie. Yeah, we were thinking about, you know, what is a group conscience? Would you be able to screen share that again?
Of course, yeah, sorry.
Thanks.
Coming up.
Because it's tricky, you know, people throw the terminology around a lot and we have a general understanding, but what stands out for me is this idea that it's direction obtained by the group through discussion, and that it is for the group, that, you know, the group isn't deciding how other people should act, they're deciding how the group should act after thorough discussion and slow deliberation. Trying to invite higher power in through, you know, creating space. It's very, you know, it's hard to hold that in the midst of a discussion in the middle of the ABC, or at least previous discussions I've been a part of. It can be very contentious at times, you know, not that that's the goal at all, but it's just something that happens. So this is something where we strive for. And, you know, someone told me recently that the group conscience, you're always should be trying to listen to what the group as a whole is saying, and where the group will land in creating a decision. And I'll turn it back now to the group, and we can stop sharing. Thanks.
Anybody have any thoughts? Just raise your hand real quickly based on experiences with a group conscience of what to you feels like a group conscience. Marcus, any quick thoughts from you? I'm not going to call on non-presenting volunteers if they don't raise.
Well, you know, for me, one thing that I've really been working on in relationship to group conscience is basically to take the responsibility to really share clearly my views, like sort of really sharing myself, what I have to offer, and putting that out, but then letting go of it in a way that, you know, trying not to come with an agenda and like, I'm going to get this done, which is kind of like my experience has been in outside of 12 tradition programs is kind of more that type of thing. And I'm really working on that of just, of fully sharing and then letting it go into the group conscience and letting the group conscience take it up. And if they don't, if it doesn't take it up, then maybe that's not what's meant to be. And and not really trying to shove things around like that or control it like. And that's just one thing that I constantly kind of have to work on. And then in some ways I feel like it's kind of built into this concept of like when a motion is made and seconded, it's no longer that person's motion that made it. It goes out into the group, and that's sort of who possesses it and works it. But anyway, yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Marcus. I would add that letting go idea is really important, I've witnessed it myself where the intention of getting to a certain point is held by many, and the means by which we get there can, you know, someone can have I've had like this idea, oh, we should do X, Y, and Z. And someone else will say, well, why don't we do A, B, and Z? You know, we get to the same result, but through a different process and something I might not have thought of before. But tied in with this is the importance of every individual sharing their feelings and beliefs. Like if you don't participate, you're kind of holding back from the group. You're not allowing the group a full expression. Thanks.
Can I see your hand is up?
Yeah, thank you, Charlie. Jim made the comment. I was going to, to me, effective group consciousness requires participation.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the experience early in recovery where the perceived leadership of the group did not want to participate. So we kept having group consciousnesses over group consciousnesses because they couldn't agree with what the group was coming forward. And that was just very ineffective.
Mm. Thank you. Jacinta, I see your hand is up.
Yes, I just thought I'd take the opportunity to say a little something about this since I won't get to speak next week. My experience of group conscience meetings are that they become the clashing of traits. And I'm thinking of these terms, thorough discussion, slow deliberation, and ample time and space. And herein lies the difference between those who are like maybe type A personalities, gregarious, outgoing, they want to initiate things, results-oriented, want to get things moving. And then other the victim of trait of feeling dominated because somebody else is taking the initiative. And then we have to play this dance to try to get something done, to not seem like we're trying to dominate because that person so easily feels dominated. And I just got to participate in a group conscience yesterday where we have a lot of that dance going on. So that for me is always what I get to look forward to when I participate in a group conscience. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to call on Peg and then we'll start moving to the next round. Go ahead, Peg.
Yes. So the minority opinion, that's brand new. And I just adore it. I mean, I've watched meetings be changed by the minority. So this learning to listen, because I listen from my head like it's the authority in the world. So I love this time for the minority opinion, and I'm called to listen. So that part of this, it's just always amazes me. Like, I wish that happened in the world, right? That everyone got hurt. So that's my favorite. Thanks.
Before I move on, first off, there's two things I'd like to highlight from the conversation we just had. First off, this may seem silly, but everybody here, if I could ask you to take your digital hand and raise it, just right now. You don't have to have a purpose for raising it other than I've just made the request. Okay, this is beautiful. The word participation was mentioned. Very, very tempting. And I think Jacinta said something quite profound about the way the traits unconsciously creep in when a group of adult children get together. One trait is to just hide. I was a lost child growing up. And yet it's, and many of us have that experience. We raise our hand and we talk, and it's almost like you can feel your throat vibrating as you're speaking. And all I want to say is, everybody has value. Peg just mentioned the power of somebody who says, well, I'm one of three people who voted against this, but I think you should rethink it. And suddenly you see the whole room going, whoa, wait a minute. There is power in every single voice. So I invite everybody at some point over the next weekend to do what you've just done right now. Raise your hand. Now you can lower them, because that is how you enter the group. Second thing I want to say is this notion about spiritual decision-making, because again, Jacinta was talking about, we all kind of grew up in family situations. If my family ever held a group conscience about anything, I must have missed that particular gathering. You know, the decision-making was made by louder voices, angrier expressions. We can't help but bring that in. And the first time I was really in an integral role in a group conscience, it profoundly changed me, because I realized this is a way of making decisions that is based on listening, openness, hearing other ideas. And to me, one of the most beautiful moments in a good group conscience is when the final decision is made that nobody suggested at the beginning of the group conscience. We just kept hearing it from different angles, and something new came in, and yet everybody kind of knows that's right. That's it. And so, it's a very different thing from either I must win or I can't lose, which are sort of normal dynamics in group discussion. So thank you. That was a wonderful discussion. And we do strive. There's been in my 8 years of being a delegate or other roles, there's been a constant striving, which you're going to go through next, about making this ACA Congress a group conscience process. So, yeah, I think these are just different thoughts that we've all expressed quite well in the last few minutes. Now, Marcus, you went through the group safety and personal respect section, this whole setting the tone in the meditation, so we can move past this slide. And also, this is a little more precise. And Marcus, if you have anything you want to add about this, please do. But we have these five roles. Point of order is if you think the official process is not being followed, like somebody wasn't recognized who should have been or something like that. Point of information is if there's something you just don't understand and you need to know more to function, you would send a chat to, if the first one, you'd send a chat to the point of order. Second, you'd send a chat to point of information. Third is if you believe some information is needed either from the board or committee chairs, you send a note, a chat to that person. IT, we've talked about at length. And then Adelina spoke some about point of safety. If somebody's contact seems unsafe, you reach out to the point of safety person. Again, the reason you don't contact the chair directly or the parliamentarian directly, they are busy, busy, busy running the meeting. These are sort of gatekeepers that will either deal with it directly or to give you clarity or pass it on more action is needed. Questions and answers about these last few minutes before we get into my favorite part, the nuts and bolts, the guts of how the discussion and voting works. Any more questions? Okay, then we'll pick up and wrap this up. Okay, you've actually heard a lot of anticipation in the discussion. This discussion of worldwide online voting, we'll get into what that's about, but it's a pretty powerful thing. It was a result of the fact that we have members from around the world and in every time zone. And so what is 9 a.m., the starting time Eastern for this meeting, next week will be 3 a.m. in Honolulu. It'll be 11 p.m. In Sydney, Australia. And it's just literally at any one time that we are talking and fully animated, somebody is sleeping. And so the worldwide online voting was originally created so that people didn't have to be hallucinating in the middle of the night trying to follow ABC discussion. They could sleep, pick it up later, and still cast an informed vote. But as is evident from this call, sometimes people just have a conflict during the day. It means everybody can cast an informed vote. The key thing is, though, what that means is we aren't making final decisions during this 9-to-5 session that many of us will be participating in. What we really are deciding is, should this go to that overnight vote or the worldwide vote or not? And then the final decision is actually made in that electronic voting. Typically, the number of people who deliver votes in the overnight voting is about 25% greater than the people participating in the 9-to-5 call. So there's a significant percentage of people, they are able to participate because of the worldwide online voting, and we want their participation. So the key things you need to know, and I'm doing this differently from last week when I set a record for causing most eyeballs to glaze in the shortest possible time. So I'm going to try to do it a little more high level and then go into an example from a couple of years ago. The key thing is there's three phases when we discuss things. The first is with ballot proposals, which will be we have three of them this year, but there'll be other similar types of proposals. The submitters present the proposal. They have 3 minutes to basically say, here's the issue, here's our preferred solution, here's why we took it to the fellowship. 12 groups tried to do that this year. Nine did not get necessary support from the fellowship or participating meetings to go forward. So we have three of those that got 67% or more. Then it is opened up to the delegates. Now, one of the things we identified, and this really came to a head in 2019 when we started changing things, and we've done it over several years. I was at a meeting in Sweden in 2019. Many, many delegates from the United, not from other countries, who had no idea what Robert's Rules of Order were, and many people from the United States who kind of did. And it became evident what a bad fit it was for adult children. We all have issues about not being heard, about being interrupted. And literally, delegates would be in mid-sentence and somebody would go, call the question, move the table, and that kind of thing. People were literally in tears by the end of the first day because they felt so unable to just speak their mind. And so we started moving to, let's not put a motion on the floor right away. The submitters have made a presentation. Let's just take 20 minutes to have a group conscience decision. What do we all think about this? Do we think it's an important issue? Do we want to do something? Do we want to do nothing? Do we want to study it some more? Do we want to vote right away? But no motion. Just what do we all think about it? What questions do we have that haven't been raised yet? And it really opens a very different kind of discussion. And again, like Mark said a few minutes ago, nobody owns it. It's just like we have brought this issue to the conference. Now it's yours, conference, to talk it over. And then we do a vote, which I'll get into in a minute, about what are our four options? What do we want to do here generally? Once that's decided, which is the end of the identified general motion, then we go on to crafting our direction. Then we go on to, once we know generally what we want to do, then there is a process where we're given 10 minutes to identify possible alternative motions. This keeps this from being determined by just the very first person who gets their hand up saying, I move X or I move Y. And you might actually have six or seven, sometimes even more motions appearing on a screen saying, this is the motion I would write. So instead of one motion and amendments, we start just generating a list of possible motions for getting to the place we all say we want to go. And then we use electronic voting to narrow it down. It's kind of a less competitive way of getting to what do we all think, to our group conscience. So I mentioned there are four possible paths. One is, let's make a decision today to approve something relating to this ballot proposal we received or another proposal. It leaves the door open to some changes. It doesn't have to be exactly what the presenters want, but we basically think they're on to something. Let's do something that achieves a goal closely related to what they presented. Number two is, you know, interesting question. There's something here, but we can't possibly make an informed decision today. So let's approve a study, have somebody come back with more information next year or 2 years from now, and then try to decide it then based on the information that's been gathered. That has not, that's been a more common model in recent years. I'd say that's one of the biggest changes, is that there's less of a presumption that if something arrives today, we need to make a decision today. A third is, let's just hand this over to the World Service Board, let them assign it to a committee, and, you know, and then we'll hear more later. And then, of course, the last one, we really don't think this is well thought through. We're just going to vote no. And those options are all available. As I mentioned, no Roberts rules particularly. There's no amendments, no motions to close debate. We have this time. The group conscience is determined by a series of electronic polls. Brad was talking about Election Buddy. This is where it comes in. And essentially, if you start with seven or eight options, you'll do a vote. We eliminate the least popular options until we eventually get to a clear group conscience. Either we want to do one of the options available to us, or we just say, no, we're not doing it. So before I move on to what I subjected my poor listeners to last week, I'm going to follow a suggestion that was made by one of our listeners that I thought was great, which is, hopefully I'll be able to find it. If people will bear with me, I'm going to take a second to find the other item I need here. Basically, what it was is, hold on a second. Technology has, there we go again. I'm going to go back in time if I can, and take a look at 2022. Here we go. And just, this is something that really happened. And this was, interestingly enough, an issue that the board spent a year talking about, and we could not come up with an answer that satisfied us. It very much affected the fellowship as a whole, and the conference solved it in about an hour's time. And so I think it's a great example of why the conference is such an essential part to World Service. The question was this. A number of meetings started coming up saying LGBTQ only, people of color only, only men, only women. And the question came up, was this appropriate? Should all meetings be open? Should our directory list meetings where there were exclusions, where a newcomer would come and they would in effect be told, you can't come to this meeting? We had a few board members who were very confident, well, we can solve this in 20 minutes, just do this or just do that. And it became very clear every time somebody came up with a simple solution, there were major problems. Of course, the purpose of these meetings is to create a zone of safety for people who may not find it elsewhere. And so there are actually two completely opposite ballot proposals on this topic, one of which is the one here. This was approved by the fellowship to go to the conference. Another one said prohibit only, you know, women only, men only, people of color only meetings altogether. That one actually only got about 30% support. So the meetings guided us already to one direction, try to make something happen. So this was presented. There was 3 minutes talking about their proposal, which was, we request that all only meetings catering to underrepresented or disadvantaged groups, as well as single sex spaces, be listed on the WSO website. in line with tradition four, we request that the autonomy of these meetings be respected in terms of how people listed their meetings. And we also ask that the principle of non-organization in ACA be observed. Now, you will observe here, there was no presentation this time. It was simply the motion was put there. You'll observe there's no motion at this point. We just opened it up for general discussion. And every bullet point here is something that a different delegate said. And there was a wide range of perspectives. And some, you know, we're talking about how important it is. Some actually opposed it. You know, groups in my state want to support this proposal so people have a safe space. But a lot of different perspectives. Now, along the way, some said, I'm not comfortable with, you know, not having any ability to edit meeting lists if there's really something wrong or offensive in them. And so a lot of different ideas started coming in this. Well, you can see here, this is against tradition three and tradition five. I think it'd be terrible to turn away somebody from a meeting. So in 20 minutes, we got quite a range of opinions. And that leads to the obvious question, well, what do people think? What was the point of that 20 minutes? And so we went to this first process I was talking about. What's the general direction we want to go to? Do we want to act on something today? Do we want more study? Do we want to reject it? And we got some of each, but the green one was the winning one, and it won on the very first vote. It said, I support the spirit of this ballot proposal and would like a motion to be crafted for approval at this ABC. It got 72%. You need 60% or more to move forward. So this part only took one round. We did a minority opinion. I believe we did a minority opinion. I'm not sure. No, I think, I'm sorry, we do the minority opinion differently. So anyway, when almost three quarters of the people said, we support the spirit of the proposal, let's do a motion, we moved right away to the next phase, which is to create a motion. And what happens is people are given about 3 minutes of silence, and then they can start raising their hand, be recognized, and using the chat function, they submit written motions. And what you can actually see, and sometimes people's eyes glaze initially when they see this, is they'll see different alternatives. The first one is I move that all only meetings, you know, this is actually literally just what the presenters did. There were subtle differences. Wants to continue to be listed on the WSO website, and that the fellowship maintain its tradition for our option to delist any only group that negatively affects ACA as a whole. This was an issue, I think, about transgenders. Could they be prohibited by a women's only meeting? Then somebody took a much simpler approach. But you can actually see here, that's like five different motions on how to get there. And those are what we call implementing motions. And so what we did was we had more debate. We kind of talked through what the options were, how they make a difference. And then we did the election buddy voting. And as you can see, it was kind of all over the map. 5%, I don't support any of these. 11 votes supported one, 10 votes supported another, 9 another, 16. And then 20 was the leading one. Which had a little more detail, but none of these were close to 60%. So what do? We then knocked out numbers 2 and 3, we knocked out the ones that had less votes. And so we now were down to motion 2 and motion 3. I won't even try to get into the particulars of how they're different. But the second time around, we always include the option of I don't support any of these. The second time around, motion 3 got 61% of the vote. Motion 2 got 32% of the vote. That was enough that the motion 3 option, this was the wording we put on the worldwide online vote. And it is actually possible that nothing ever makes it to 60%. It may be that the majority say, get rid of all of it. Glad we talked about it, but let's move on. It's also possible for something to wind up with 55% saying do X, 45% saying don't do anything. When that happens, it just gets referred to the board. So I'm hoping that by showing this in practice, it's less mysterious than trying to explain it in theory. But before I even do anything else, does anybody have any questions about what you just heard? The good news is the first time we tried this in 2022, I can laugh about it now. I was dying 1,000 deaths at the time. Nobody, including the parliamentarian, had any idea what we were doing. The first time, first two votes, it was just like, I thought, oh my God, this is going, we spent 2 months figuring this out. It's going down in flames in 20 minutes. We got the hang of it. And within 2 hours, it was like people had been doing this their whole lives. Just boom, 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 boom. Okay, 7 options. We all vote. Okay, we got 3 options. Okay, we got 2 options. But in the end, you either get to 60% and it goes on the worldwide ballot voting, or it doesn't and something else happens. So anyway, I'm going to do a last bit of screen sharing. I'm sorry, I've got to get back to the right screen here to share. Okay. Then the rest should speed up from here on out. But that voting is a critical process. And it's to say, once you get the hang of it, it just stops being a big deal. So lastly, the only other thing of significance I want to add is that we also have motions by committees. This year we'll have some from literature. There's a name study committee. There's a concepts 2 and 6 study committee. Some of these actually are a result of ballot motions from a few years ago, addressing predatory behavior that were studied, and now we're coming back with motions. The process is essentially identical, so I won't explain any more. Got to get to 60% to be moved on to worldwide online voting. We also, at day one, introduce each board trustee. They have 3 minutes, then there's a 15-minute Q&A period. Their names will go on the ballot Saturday night, and people vote yes to ratify them to serve on the board, no to oppose their serving on the board. All of this gets to worldwide online voting. Brad explained this, so I won't go into a lot. Really, it comes down to check your email starting about 2 hours after the meeting closes. Takes about 15 minutes to do. There's like a whole, it's like going to election day. You go, there's like a bunch of final approved motions or motions that were authorized to go on the ballot that the conference generated. Yes, no, abstain. And the next day after the voting comes in, because voting, as Brad mentioned, it goes till about 7 a.m. Eastern, then they close it down. But by 9 a.m. when the second day on Sunday starts, we actually will know exactly how many votes came through, which ones were passed. We do minority opinion that next day. And in essence, if you opposed it the first time, we let up to 3 people say why they think the conference should take another look. If 40% of the conference says, I would like another vote on this, it goes back on worldwide online voting. Why only 40%? Because to pass any motion, you need 60%. So 42% now say, maybe we got this wrong. It means you only can count on having a little less than 60% support for that motion. Floor proposals happen on day 2, but they have to be submitted to the secretary by the end of day 1, and they have to meet a particular test. Delegates can propose a floor proposal. They have to have a compelling reason for why it has to be dealt with right now, today, as opposed to being put on a future agenda. And so they quickly make a case. Here's what I want to do. Here's why it's time urgent. The delegates decide whether it's time sensitive. If it is, then they treat it like the other motions I've talked about, you know, broad discussion, you know, specific motion to implement that kind of thing. And then if on day two, if it was anything is approved by worldwide voting on day one, there's a minority opinion. On day two motions, though, there is not a third day. Minority opinion is heard at the next delegate business meeting. And I think that's kind of it. There's a whole, I'm sure there's a really nice thing, graphic. I just keep skipping over it because my own head explodes. I think I've given you the gist. It's basically discuss lots of proposals, narrow your options, and then vote. The real decision is made by this worldwide online voting the next day. And there's a lot of flow charting that could describe that. And then lastly, the only other thing worth mentioning is there are some reports this year, because of time, you won't be getting individual committee reports. That's why delegates are strongly encouraged to read through the delegate guidebook binder, at least for the topics you're interested in. Each committee report is about a page, sometimes two. There will be a general Q&A session for committees, but again, to really be able to meaningfully engage, you kind of have to at least know a little bit what they're working on. We also will have a significant report on the audit process. The World Service is getting bigger, and they now need to go through yearly financial audits. There'll be a presentation of a service norms document followed by a Q&A and probably some additional presentations. Then lastly, Marcus, correct me on this if I'm wrong. You think it's likely that the ABC chair will ask delegates how long they want to go each day, and that might lead to rescheduling some conference business. If that's correct, can you just expand on that for a second?
Yeah, it looks like we can get everything done in 2 9-hour days.
Okay, great.
But we're probably going to do right now on the schedule is at around 1 o'clock on day one. We'll do a poll about if people want to do 2 8-hour days and then send the rest of the stuff to a future meeting, like a quarterly or anyway, the next business meeting. So that's pretty likely we're going to do that. And it'll be a poll, you know, and it's not an online voting thing or anything. We'll just do a poll there at the meeting and then proceed how we decide. But right now it's looking like 2 9-hour days.
Right. Thanks so much. And then important events for delegates. We're now getting through most of these. Obviously, one important one is May 18th. If you're a delegate, we certainly hope you can be there at 9 a.m. Eastern. There will be a delegate connections. This is a bit more of a social connections meeting, 9 p.m. tonight. That is scheduled for, you know, people from that's more convenient. And then the one I mentioned earlier, really critical, which is not on this list. For those of you who are not registered to be a delegate, but you're thinking to do that, I believe it's, I don't remember this midnight or 5 p.m. Eastern on Monday, but Monday is the deadline. So if you decide you do want to register, we obviously encourage that. Go to the conference webpage. You can do that just by going to adultchildren.org and clicking on the conference link. And the registration link is one of the highest on the conference page. So with that, we're going to open up to last questions and answers. I appreciate everybody's patience for hanging in. It looks like virtually everybody stayed, which is quite impressive. I do have my own question. As I say, we tried last week to use an example of the voting rather than sort of trying to describe the same stuff in theory. I would personally love some feedback, if anybody has it, whether that explanation was helpful to you, and if you feel like you generally understand how this voting process works. So we open the floor to any questions, but if anybody has any quick feedback on that point, I would welcome it. Gail.
Yes, Gail, adult child. It was excellent. It was an excellent example. It was very helpful to me to understand the process, especially in absence of Robert's Rules of Order, where you have discussion of a particular motion and have friendly amendments and as a group can revise a specific amendment. So that was my question. Basically, you vote on the motion as written. There's no chain, like I like this motion and I like that motion and I wish that wording would be in this motion. Is that maybe some of the proposals that would be made?
You know,
the floor proposals?
That's a great question. We're not there yet. And perhaps, well, actually, there's probably one way we can get there. But by and large, that's a great question. And we've actually talked about that. So we may come back to figure out if there's another round for doing that. But basically, everybody is encouraged to sort of get their own preferred motion up there. And the hope is that with enough motions to choose from, you'll at least get to something close to what there's support for. But that's a really excellent question. We've oftentimes thought even of if the presenters have such a great motion that everybody loves it. Thanks so much, Rob. Take care. That is there a way to just have a, can we do a quick vote? Does everybody want to just support this? That might, you know, shorten the process. But right now, this at least has the advantage of instead of me amending your motion, I just get to put up my preferred alternative and then we let the conscience decide what they like better. Are there any other questions, Gail, before I move to the next? Okay. I hope this session today is helping you make a decision on whether to register or not. Marcus, I saw your hand go up for a second.
Yeah, I don't know. If there aren't any other questions, I was just going to say something on the process and maybe, I don't know, maybe just share the agenda.
I think that'd be very helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold on a second. Before Marcus does the agenda, any additional questions from delegates on what we've presented so far before we move on? Okay. No hands. Again, next week, keep those hands coming up. Marcus, do the agenda, and then I think we can maybe just do some quick closing comments from the three presenters.
Okay, so I'm just going to go here to the trustee, this website, conference website. That's where you want to go for everything, and the agenda. Trying to make this agenda so that it can be your companion. During the conference, we're trying to have it be another one-stop thing. You know, we're going to have links. We have links here too. We're going to have a vote. Okay, this is going to be a vote. We're going to try and put a link here to the OPPM section on how the process is, mechanical process of the vote. You know what Charlie just went over. So the OPPM section, so you can read that. And then we're going to have the motion that's going to be put forward. And keep this handy. Just one thing on the process, when you get to the modification of the motion, it moves quickly. You got 3 minutes to put forward a motion in the form of that you got to put it in chat. So just, you know, it's best. I mean, I feel if you're on a phone, it's just, I don't know if you can, it's going to be really difficult, but if you're on a computer, you know, you can have the motion up, you know, in a document and you can copy it, you know, copy and paste it to another thing and play with it, you know. And maybe if there's a motion that you have particular ideas about, really have that in mind before the conference. So you kind of have some stuff gelled, but it is 3 minutes. So, you know, kind of be prepared for that. Cause it's not very long to write it up, get it in chat. And yeah, that's it.
Adelina, your hand is up.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Very quickly, wanted to share about the Delegate Connection section tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We are going to cover self-care at the conference and connect people. Let's hope that we can connect people with the body and also talk about what to do, how to address, how to repent ourselves when, if we get triggered. We'll talk a little bit about the lonely list and the other lonely list traits and how to mitigate this when they show up. So please, by all means, if you have time to join and you're interested in these topics, join us tonight at 9. Thank you.
Adelina, thank you so much for your service in that area of safety. Because it is a big deal. I think everybody, we've sort of alluded to it during the group conscience discussion. Extremely easy. Get 75 or 100 adult children into one space who have been violated in almost every way imaginable as children. And what could go wrong as we have this, what looks like a family reunion talking about things, you know? So we need to come in trying to take care of our own selves. And that can require a lot of tools, but this notion of a group commitment to safety has been very helpful. And as Marcus says, it's really, there's been a lot of strength in that area since we started focusing on the safety more. So the other thing I want to point out about the agenda before we do just a few closing comments is there are breaks. It's a long day, no matter how you cut it. We have been spending now an hour and 40 minutes at our in our chairs, by and large, with a few exceptions, and computer screens or phone screens in front of us. That is a small taste of what two full days at the ABC can be like. So have your food, your water, your hydration ready. You can take a rest if you need it. You certainly can step away if you feel agitated or triggered, because the key things you'll need to vote at night will be posted on the website before the voting starts. So even if you miss 20 minutes because you just need to lie down or take a walk, you can catch up that way. So self-care is an ACA virtue, and it has to be practiced in some fashion, I believe, in the ABC. But we do a morning break, an afternoon break, a midday lunch break that's longer. Adelina, I don't know if you are going to be doing some of the kind of fun and group activities during our breaks, but that is certainly help keep people going too.
Yeah, I'm absolutely willing to.
Yeah, if you're willing to, it's been a godsend and a mainstay to prior ABC. So I think I've just been made the host for reasons I don't understand. But anyway, so with that, any last questions before we have what limited words of wisdom the three presenters can offer here to close today's call? Okay, not seeing any hands, so thank you guys very much. So Jim or Marcus, do one of you want to lead off the closing comments?
Yeah, hi, this is Jim. And while we're talking about self-care, on the Slack site under Go Here First, and in a couple of spots, a checklist has been developed that will give pointers on how to care for yourself during this. I mean, as Charlie said, hour and 45 minutes. So like this, what we've just had now times six, mm-hmm. and then double that back to back. So it's very long full time. And I can't stress more how supportive it is to have someone on the other end of a chat to say, hey, wow, what do you think of that? Or, you know, whatever. But yeah, and you will be triggered. I mean, I'm triggered right now because my hips hurt.
Yes.
It's not about the content of the conversation. I just, you know, at some point you want to get up and move. So that's all. Thanks.
Marcus?
Yeah, no, I don't really have anything to add. Yeah, except, yeah, I agree with self-care. And I am going to have to leave. Because I've got another meeting that actually started already. So,
okay. Thanks so much, Marcus. Take care. And I will keep mine as short, at least by my standards. The one thing I want to say is I continue to think in the end with all of these things, the long hours, et cetera, it's an exciting thing. My first ABC, I was brought in as a speaker. I had no idea what it was. And there were maybe 20 odd people there, and most of them looked clueless. They came because somebody had asked them to come. And we really had no real democracy. And you know, 8 years, 9 years later, we are a worldwide fellowship. We will have people from literally many, many continents here. And we come together as a world fellowship to decide what is the ACA fellowship need next? What's the next part of our journey? And you guys will be part of it. And so once you get through the confusion and all the stuff we talked about today, you will be part of a worldwide experience helping other people get better. And the one thing I'm going to take away from today's call the most was that discussion of the group conscience. Because when you see that happen on a scale of people from around the planet, different languages, different cultures, different life experiences in every way, working together to come to kind of one idea, and it does happen, it's a really lovely spiritual experience, in my opinion. So I'm very pleased that everybody here has taken the time to be a part of this today. And again, you know, we talked about listening, we talked about openness, but particularly for those of you who are new, also carry the notion of participation. It's something which is very hard for adult children to think I as an individual have value in this big group setting. So thank you guys so much. I think this will close today's program and my newly empowered position as meeting host. I will